This week we will be learning Maseches Yevamos, Daf Zayin. We left off on the bottom line of Daf Vavam Abiz. We were discussing how the Gemara in Daf Gimel Abiz used the pasuk, the word Aleha, to tell me that one cannot do Yibam with his Achos Isha, with his sister-in-law. So the Gemara was looking for a source that without that pasuk, I would think that it's Mutter. So the Gemara tried to bring many examples, and in the middle of Vavam Abiz, the Gemara suggested that perhaps we derive from the fact that we need a pasuk to tell me that Beis Din cannot administer a death penalty on Shabbos. So the Gemara makes a diuk. Without the pasuk, I would have thought that the Beis Din can kill people on Shabbos. Why would that be? Oh, it must be an aseh is docha alos aseh sheish bo karis. So now the Gemara on the bottom said, it's true that the Gemara, the pasuk, when it says that Beis Din can't keep up, kill people on Shabbos, is coming to exclude what you might have thought. But what you might have thought was not because of Asei Dochalosa Sheish Bokaris. Rather, what you would have thought is a Kalachomer that would have permitted Beis Din administering a death penalty on Shabbos. What's that Kalachomer? So two lines from the bottom. Pali Kamar. Ma'ani Mekaya Mechale Mos Yumas. When the Pasuk says Mechale Mos Yumas, it means those are people who are put to death. Maybe Bishar Malachos. That means anyone who does any other malacha is put to death on Shabbos. Aval misas Beis Din tachiyah Shabbos. If Beis Din has to violate a malacha like Sreifa, for example, in order to administer a death penalty, perhaps that's permitted. Mikal v'chomer. What is the kal v'chomer? Says the Gemara Tap Dav Zayim Aleph. Uma avoda shi chamura v'docha Shabbos. Avoda. Meaning when the Kohanim perform the avoda in Beis HaMikdash to bring karbanos, we know that's docha Shabbos, in the sense that the carbon tamid is brought every day, even on Shabbos. And nevertheless, Ritzicha is docha osa. Ritzicha is docha the avoda. Pashup Shah would mean that a Kohen who's a murderer is not permitted to do the avoda. Rashi over here says that when it comes to a Kohen murderer, Beis Din actually removes him from his position and puts him to death. Unless, says Rashi, he's under the roof of the Mizbeach with the avoda in his hands. As the Gemara says, "Shenemar mi'im is bechi tigachenu lamus." We take him away from his veach to bring him to death. So Soloveitchik over here in the Rishimos notes that the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach argues on Rashi and says that the roof of a mizbeach would only save someone who killed the shogig, but not the mezid. I mean, Rashi seems to say that even the Kohen is a cold-blooded murderer. If he's under the roof of a mizbeach, all of a sudden Beis Din can't touch him. The Rambam argues and says, no, it only protects someone who kills Bishogig, not Bemezin. So the Mishnah HaMelech, over there asking the Rambam, it seems to be against this Rashi. So he answers, it's actually a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. What's the Machlokes? So Soloveitchik says, the Yesod of Machlokes is that when we say the Mizbeach can save a person, what about if he's not doing the Avoda at the time? So what's the purpose of having Mizbeach but without doing an Avoda? So it could be that the Mizbeach can save a person, but without a voda in his hand, the Kohen is not even considered to be under the roof of Mizbeach. As you need a voda plus Mizbeach is what offers the protection. But if you're not doing the avoda, there's not protection. But it's not that the avoda itself protects him either. You need both, according to the Rambam, you need both the avoda plus the roof of Mizbeach offer protection. Either way, you see that the avoda is docha Shabbos, but Ritzicha is docha the avoda. So in the pecking order, you have Ritzicha on top, followed by avoda. So then, if that's the case, Shabbos, shenichas me avoda, you know, Shabbos, which is pushed away, avoda is docha Shabbos, eno din shtei Ritzicha docha osa, shouldn't the concept of Ritzicha push off Shabbos? And in this context, it would mean, therefore, Beis Din can administer a Ritzicha, and that should override Shabbos. Because in the pecking order, it should be Ritzicha first, then Avoda, and Shabbos at the bottom. So the Gemara says, well, my o'eno deka amar. The Gemara da vavam abiz suggested that, well, there's a reason not to say that. So if we're in the world of this Kavachomer, then what would be the other side? How would one ask and try to disprove this kal v'chomer? So the Gemara says, "Haki kamar, kvuras mis mitzvah tochiach." The concept of burying a dead body when the dead body has no relatives to bury it, that will disprove this kal v'chomer. Why? Shadocha es avoda. Meaning the Kohanim are doing the avoda, the Beis HaMikdash. They stop the avoda to go bury the Meis Mitzvah. However, ve'in docha es Shabbos. One is not permitted to bury a Meis Mitzvah on Shabbos. So you see that just because avot, you don't have the same order anymore. You don't have Ritzicha on top and Avodah on the bottom, and then Shabbos, because in a certain sense, Shabbos is higher than Avodah, because Kfuras Meis Mitzvah is Docha Avodah, but not Docha Shabbos, so the Kavah Chomer doesn't work anymore. But then, Hadar Amar, you could disprove that by saying, Kfuras Meis Mitzvah, Tidcha Shabbos, Kavah Chomer. Well, why isn't Kfuras Meis Mitzvah Docha Shabbos? Maybe it should be, based on the following Kavah Chomer. Uma Avodah Shi Docha Shabbos, Avodah is Docha Shabbos, and Kfuras Meis Mitzvah Docha Osa, and Kfuras Meis Mitzvah Docha the Avodah, Mivul Achosa, from a pasuk of Achosa, like Rashi points out, the Gemara Megillah tells us, Shabbos Shenircha Me Avodah, if Shabbos is pushed off by Avodah, and Avodah is Docha, and Kfuras Mitzvah is Docha Avodah, so Ino Din Shei Kfuras Mitzvah Docha Osa, so shouldn't Kfuras Mitzvah also be Docha Shabbos? Talmud Lomar Lo Sivaru. So Lo Sivaru tells me that even though you might have suggested that a Kavachomer that would tell me that the Avodah, and you have Ritzicha, and Ritzicha would be Docha Shabbos, and therefore Beis Din would be able to administer a death penalty on Shabbos, comes along Lo Sivaru, and tells me that Beis Din may not administer a death penalty on Shabbos. And this was all assuming you needed the pasuk, lest I think from a Kavah Chomer that Ritzicha would be Docha Shabbos, but it has nothing to do with Asei Docha Lo Sasei Sheish Bo Karis. So the Gemara says, we initially thought that whole back and forth about Beis Din administering death penalty on Shabbos was coming to exclude you thinking that Asei Ubidocha Lo Sase. So the Gemara says, well, according to that, my O Eno Deka Amar. I mean, one way would say, okay, fine, without the Pasuk, Asei of Beis Din being chayev to administer a death penalty would be Docha the Lo Sase of doing a malach on Shabbos. So now, what's the other side of that? Why would Asei Docha Lo Sase not work in that context? So Gemara says, Halki Kamar, Ma'ani Mekayim Achala Mos Yumas. What does it mean that you put someone to death for providing a malach on Shabbos? That's Bishar Malachos, Chutz Misas Beis Din. Aval Misas Beis Din, Dachi Shabbos, to us Yasei V'dachi Lo Sase. Again, this is all in the Havim, you know, without the Pasuk of Lo Sivaru, I would have thought that Beis Din may administer the death penalty, even though it's a malacha, because of Asei Docha Lo Sase. But then, what's the opposite? What's the counter argument? Hadar Amar. But then you could say, Amar Darmina Se Dachi Sase V'dachi Lo Sase. When do we say that concept? That's Lo Sase Greda. That's only when you have a regular Lo Sase against the Ase. But Lo Sase Sheshbo Kares, we know the malachas on Shabbos have a possibility of Kares associated with them if a person does it, b'mezid, without witnesses. So Mishamisle Didachi, do we ever find that Asei Docha Lo Sase Sheshbo Kares? So that would be the counter argument to say that it shouldn't apply in this context. But then, Hadar Amar, but we counter argument that again and say, Atu Asei Didocha Es Lo Sase, Lav Lo Sase Chomer Mine, Vikasi Asei V'dachile. I mean, this whole structure of an Asei V'docha Lo Sase is a chiddush, because in a certain sense, a Lo Sase is really more stringent than an Asei. Rashi points out, because you give someone malchus, you lash a person for violating a lo sase. You don't lash a person for violating an ase. So the fact that an ase could beat and defeat a lo sase is a chiddush. Once it's doing that, mali chumrezuta, mali chumraba. Why does it matter what kind of lo sase it is? If it's a lo sase sheish bo kares, if it's a regular lo sase, either way, the ase, it's a chiddush that could even defeat a regular lo sase. So once it can do that, shouldn't it also be able to defeat a lo sase shepo kares? Tamalomar lo sivaru. And that's why you need the pasuk lo sivaru to tell me that it's not true, and really, Beis Din may not administer death penalty on Shabbos. Now over here, Bikiva Iger, on the line of mali chumra rabba, mali chumra zuta, he references a very well-known Ramban in Parshas Yisro, very well-known Ramban, who says that the reason Asei is Docha Lo Sase is because Mitzvot Asei represent Ahava, love, and Lo Sase are Yira, are fear of Hashem. And Ahava always is more Chomor than Yira, but we know a bittul of Lo Sase is worse than a bittul of an Asei. So in terms of being Mekayim, a Mitzvah, being Mekayim and Asei is stronger, because it's better to serve Hashem with Ahava than with Yira. But in terms of violating something, it's worse to violate a Lo Sase than to violate an Ase. Which is why there are punishments for violating Lo Sases. So, the Chiddush of Nachum over here says, based on this, we can explain the Havamina and Maskar in the Gemara, whether we say, Malichum Rav, Malichum Rezuta. as if an aseh wins because the aseh is more chamur, then the los aseh is not more chamur than the aseh. So you wouldn't even have the svara of mali chamur rab, mali chamur zutta. And that's the maskana, like the Ramban. But what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is referencing is that the havmina is against the Ramban. Because the havmina, the Gemara is saying that maybe when we say aseh de los aseh, maybe we say that so as not to be mevatel the aseh. As maybe being mevatel an aseh is more mekil than being mevatel los aseh. And then it would make sense, mali chamur rabba, mali chamur zutta. The Ritva really echoes this point, that this line is really all in the havmina, that we thought we needed a proof from Havara, but we hold that aseh is docholos aseh by a lav and not by karis. As we asked for a source specifically by karis, so we see clearly there's a difference. We don't hold malichum rab malichum zuta, right? And not only that, the Maritz Chiyutz notes that clearly the svara is wrong. We know there's a different level of stringency when it comes to isurim that have lavin versus karis, right? The Gemara in Erevin says that it's better for a chaver to do a small isur rather than an amarth do a large isur. We found by Yom Kippur, there's a concept of shiurim. So we don't agree to this concept of malichum rabba, malichum rezuta. We do analyze and assess each avera and take its stringency into consideration, but there are different levels of stringencies when it comes to different averos. We do believe that. Okay, so essentially, we've rejected the whole concept of losivaru with respect to basin administering the death penalty as being a possible source of the reason why you needed the word aleha in Daf Gimel and Beis, because without aleha, I would have had a havamina that it would be permitted to do yibam with an achos isha, and we still have not found the source of, without that pasuk, what would I have thought? Where do you see that there would be a havamina that a person would be permitted to do yibam with his sister-in-law? Wouldn't it be obvious that would be usher? So we still haven't found a source for that havamina. So the Gemara now tries again. Ela istarich sada echamina tehavi ish es ach davar shabichlal yatsa minakal alamid lo alamid al atzmo yatsa el alamid akal kul yatsa. So this is should be sounding familiar from Rabbi Shmuel, which we say in Karbanos every day. Essentially what we're saying is, sometimes you have a general rule, and then you have something that was taken out of the rule. So the purpose of it being taken out of the rule is not for itself, but to reveal something about the entire klal. So we're going to see how that plays out here. Where do you find such a concept? The Tanya. Where do you find this? So the pasuk is, so the pasuk is referring to the fact that if a person eats kudshim when he himself is tamei, so he's chaya for that. That's a big isser. But yet, when it describes what type of kachim he's eating, it refers to him eating a carbon shlamim. It could have given any other example. So you have a rule, which is, don't eat kachim betumah. But now you have something being taken out of the rule, which is, it specifically refers to basar shlamim. So says the Gemara, v'hajlo shlamim b'chlal kol ha-kachim hayu. Shlamim is just an example of basar kachim. So v'lama yatsu, why did the Torah single out basar shlamim? It must be lahakish alehen, to compare the entire rule to shlamim. V'lo melacha, to teach you. Ma shlamim yuchadim kachim is beach. Shlamim is an example of something as kachim is beach, meaning its sanctity emanates from the fact that it's going to be brought in his beach as a carbon. Af kol kachim is beach. So to the only types of kachim that I'm chayav for, if I eat them betumah, are also kachim that are all going to be offered on Mizbeach. Yatsu kachay bedek habayis, which excludes kachay bedek habayis, which just means that I promise to give the monetary value of a certain animal to the Beis HaMikdash, to the treasury. If I ate that animal when I was Tameh, I'm not chayev. Now, how does this relate back to the case of Yibam with Achos Isha? So the Gemara says, Hachanami, we can say the same thing over here too. Right, we know that the Torah explicitly permits a woman to be with her ishesach, her brother-in-law. In the case, that's the case of Yibam. The case of Yibam is where a woman's husband dies and she has to go be with her brother-in-law. So we have a concept of arayos, and yet the Torah singled out a woman and her brother-in-law and permitted them to have Yibam together. So v'lama yotzta, why did it single out just that arayos of ishesach? It must be lahakish aleha to compare other arayos to it, bo malacha, and to teach you. Ma ishazach sharia, just like ishazach is mutter in the context of yibum, af kol harayos nami sharion, so too yibum is permitted and pushes off all arayos, and there, it seems like we have a havamina therefore, of why would I have thought, without the pasuk, that a person is permitted to have yibum with his achos, with his sister-in-law, based on this rule from Rabbi Shmuel, one of the rules, that the fact that Ishas Ach was singled out is to teach me that really all arayos, just like Ishas Ach, are permitted in the context of Yibum. So the Gemara says, this rule cannot really apply here. Mi dami, you really can't compare it. Hasam, in the case of Shlamim, where we used as the paradigm of this rule, Klal be'isser uprap be'isser. There, the rule was, if you eat any kudshim betumah, you're chayav. And the prat, the specific example was, if you eat shlamim betuma, you're chayav. However, hacha, think about it. Klal be'isser, uprat beheter. We have a klal that arayos are usser. And then what? Then the Torah singles out ishasach to tell me that it's permitted? But that's not the same. So essentially what we're saying is, that might be a valid rule, but that rule cannot apply to our case because it doesn't line up, it doesn't really fit. And therefore, what rule is our case more parallel to? Halo dami ella to the following rule. L'davar she'bichlal v'yatzalidon b'davar achadosh. You have, let's say, a general rule. If you single out one example, it's to teach you something new. About that specific example that you singled out. And therefore, that singled out example is very unique, has unique halachos, and does not share any similarities to the general rule. Ad shiachzirenu lecha kasa beferush, unless the Torah tells you to then go back and equate that example that was singled out to the rule. Now, where do you find this? Where's the paradigm of this rule? The Tanya, the following brisa, davar shabichlav v'yatzalu don v'davar chadash, yata yerasha lachzir lechalo ad shiachzirenu lecha kasa beferush. Like we just said, what's an example of that? Ketzad. So the pasuk says, when it comes to an asham mitzora brings a certain carbon at the end of his mitzora period, when he's purified. It says, he brings the carbon in the same place that he brings the chatos. It says that this carbon of the asham mitzora is like a chatos ha-asham. So it says Gemara, shein tamo lomer kechatos ha-asham. Why are you telling me it's like a chatas ha'asham? Right? And Rashi even points out, this is unnecessary because if you're trying to tell me that it's shechted in the same area as a regular carbon chatas, but we already just said that. And if you're coming to tell me that it has similarities to other ashamos, but this is an asham too, so why would it not have the same halachas as an asham? So that phrase, kechatas ha'asham, seems to be equating a chatas to an asham, but seems to be unnecessary. So umat hamalomer kachatas ha'ashem. Why does it say that? Levishiyotza ashem etzora lido medaver achadash bebohin yad ubohin regel hayamanis. So the Torah singles out ashem etzora for a very unique halacha. No other carbon except for the ashem etzora has a rule that with a person's right thumb and right big toe, he's supposed to sprinkle the blood. That's a halacha that's unique to the Asher Metzorah. So the fact that the Torah separated Asher Metzorah from all other Ashamos and said it has that unique halacha, so Yachol, you would have thought, Lo yehet ton matan damim ve'imurum legam mizbeach. Well, if Asher Metzorah is really being singled out from other Ashamos, then maybe it shouldn't even require the regular sprinklings of the blood and the fats on the mizbeach like other Karban Ashamos. Talmalomar ki kachatas ha'asham hu. Therefore, the Torah at the end of that pasuk had to equate back, had to be yachzirenu akasav beferush, had to equate asham etzora to other ashamos and chatos, to say that ma chatas tu'una matan damim ve'imrun gam mizbeach, just like a regular chatas requires this general sprinkling of the damim ve'imrun gam mizbeach, af asham, even this asham etzora, which was singled out for a certain halacha, is being brought back and included in the general rule to teach me, af asham ton matan damimurim legavim mizbeach, because v'iloa hadre kra, if the Torah didn't say kechatas ha'asham, hava amin, I might have thought, lemai de nafik, whatever the Torah singled out asham etzora for, it has that halacha, lemai de lo nafik, lo nafik, but no other halachas. It wouldn't be equated to other hashamas at all. That's why you need the pasuk of Khatz Asham to tell me that. Now, how does that all relate to the case of a man doing yibum with his sister-in-law? The Gemara says, Hachanami, Havamina, Ishis Achti Ishtara, Ishtara, Sha'arayos Lo. Meaning, if we're going to apply this rule to our context, it would clearly imply that one would not be permitted to do yibum with his sister-in-law. Why? Because you would say, since the Torah singles out Ishis Ach, that means whatever halach is by Ishis Ach, which is the heter of yibum, should only apply to what the Torah singled out. If you want to then equate that to the general rule, you would need another pasuk to be connecting it back. But there is no such pasuk. And therefore, from this rule, it would prove that only Ishes Ach has a heter of Yibam, but not Achuz Isha. And if that's the case, we're back to square one. Because we're still trying to figure out, why did the Torah need to say the word Aleha to prohibit a man doing Yibam with his Achuz Isha? Without the pasuk, seemingly, I would have thought it's mutter. But why would I have thought it's mutter? From this rule, it's very clear that it would be usser. Because only Ishes Ach, which is singled out, that's the one that is permitted. Everything else should be mutter. So the Gemara tries again. El Saida Chamina Tesi B'Mamatzinu. But Mamatzinu means a simple comparison of two like things. So the Gemara says, let's make up a Mamatzinu. Me'Ishes Ach, from Ishes Ach. Ma'Ishes Ach Miyavma. Just like we know, the Torah explicitly tells us that a woman, if her husband dies, can go be with her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, in Yibam. Af achuz isha tisyabim, meaning Ishes Ach is her brother-in-law, achuz isha is his sister-in-law. So, Bamei Matzinu would tell me these are like kinds, these are similar things. And so perhaps, using the concept of Bamei Matzinu, we would say that just like Ishes Ach is permitted, so too achuz isha is permitted. But obviously, to reject the Bava Matzinu, you have to explain why the two cases are not really similar. So the Gemara says, Midami, they're not similar. Hasam, by the case of Ishes Ach, Chad Isura. Her arayo status to her brother-in-law is only one arayos. She's just the Ishes Ach. She's the wife of his brother. She's the brother. She's the sister-in-law. But Hacha, over in the case of Achuz Isha, Tre Isure. Because think about what the case of Achuz Isha is. Reuven marries Rachel, and it happens to be that Rachel and Shimon marries Leah. So Rachel and Leah are sisters. So when Reuven dies and Rachel falls to Shimon B'Yibon, she has two arayos, two isurim to him. She's first of all his Ishes Ach, but she's also his Achuz Isha because she's the sister of his wife. So just because the Torah permitted a woman in a case of Ishes Ach, that wouldn't necessarily permit a woman in a case of Achuz Isha where she's usher to him in two ways. Says the Gemara, Mao Detema, no, you would have thought, Hol the Ishtari, Ishtari. Well, this one girl, Rachel, is usher to Shimon, her deceased husband's brother, in two ways. She's both his Ishes Ach and also his Achuz Isha. So the Gemara says, the Havmina is, you would have thought, since one of her statuses the Torah permits, a.k.a. the Ishes Ach, maybe the Achuz Isha is grandfathered in. Maybe that falls away naturally because one of these surim already is gone. And the Gemara wants to know, Umanat Timur Darmin and Hol Ishtri Ishtri. To really have such a concept that you have two Isurim, and when one of them goes away, for some reason that second Isur that's still connected to the same entity or person would fall away as well. So the Gemara says, yes, Netanya, we have a Braisa. Mitzora Shechalio. We need a little background here. So essentially, a Mitzora, at the end of his purification process, he has to go on the eighth day to achieve purity, to bring a carbon. And what he does is, he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he goes to where the Azara is, and he puts in his Bahonos, his thumb. And even though, really, a Mitzora is still Tameh, until he brings his carbon, so we allow him to bring his thumb into the Azara, we allow him to do that. So, again, but he's still a Mechusir Kippurim, he didn't bring a carbon, and normally a Mechusir Kippurim cannot enter there, but there's a special heter for the Metzora to stand by the Shar Nicanor, and he's going to place his thumb, his right thumb, and his right big toe into the Azara, and the Kohen will sprinkle from the blood of the carbon of the Asher Metzora
onto his big toe and his thumb. Okay? And obviously, this is a special heter when it comes to a mitzvah that even though normally a Chuzik Yipurim is not allowed to enter the Azara even in a small way, here he's allowed to do it. So mitzvah, Shechal Shmini Shel Be'er of Pesach. So now you have mitzvah, who his eighth day falls out on Erev Pesach. Now, Erev Pesach, obviously, if he's Tameh on Erev Pesach, by night, he's not going to be able to bring or eat the Karban Pesach. So normally you would say, okay, but
he could just go through his purification process, and by night he'll be able to eat the Karban Pesach. But the added layer here is V'ra'a Keri Bobayom V'Taval. Over here, he's about to finish his purification process, and he sees Keri, he sees a seminal emission. Now someone who becomes Tame from Tumas Keri, so he's not even allowed to enter the Harabayis. So now, he's not able to go to the Shar Nicanor to put his thumbs and big toe into the Azara to purify himself from his Mitzorah status. And this, since he's not going to be able to purify himself from his Mitzorah status, he will not be able to bring the Karban Pesach later. And even if he's Taval, the Gemara says, that he goes to the mikvah to purify himself from Keri, nevertheless, he's still a Tvul Yom, because he has to wait for Harav Shemesh. And since at that he won't be able to enter the Mikdash in that current state. And therefore, as long as it's still day, he won't be able to enter the Harabayas to purify himself from his Negat Saras, so he won't be able to do the Karban Pesach. So however, Amru Chachamim, that he, even though that's really, everything we said is true factually, the Chachamim made an exception in this particular case, where the Mitzora himself, at the very last day, on the eighth day, saw Keri. Amru Chachamim, Afal Pishin Tful Yom Acher Nichnas, any other Tful Yom, someone who saw Keri, went to the mikvah, has to wait for Harav Shemesh, and would not be allowed in Harabayis, Zeh Nichnas. This particular Bar Keri, who needs to go to the Beis HaMikdash anyway to purify himself from his Mitzorah status, the Chachamim allowed him to enter Harabayis even before Harav Shemesh. Why? Because Mutav Shiyavo Asei Shiyesh Bo Kares, right? Let's have the Asei with Kares, which is basically Karban Pesach. A person Mevatel, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, that is being Mevatel, a mitzvah Asei, which has Kares associated with it, V'yidcha Asei She'in Bo Kares, and push off an Asei without Kares, the Asei of not going to the Mikdash when you're a Tful Yom, when you're a Bal Keri, so that will be pushed off by the Asei, Rashi points out, V'yishlechu min ha-machaneh, there's no Kares, so therefore, we allow him to enter the Shar Nicanor, put his thumbs in, purify himself from his Mitzorah status, and still bring his Karban Pesach that night. And when it comes Harav Shemesh, then he'll be Matar from his Valkyrie status. And Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah, Fiyu Asei Leispe. On the Raisa level, there's really no Asei even. There's no Mitzvah Asei for a Tvul Yom to stay away from the Mikdash. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Divrei Yomim, V'yamo Yehoshafat Bekal Yehuda, L'fnei HaChatzar HaChadasha. Yehoshafat was standing in front of Kal Yehuda in the Chatzar HaChadasha. My Chatzar HaChadasha, what does that mean? In this chatzar, they made a new rule, new laws. The Amru, Tvul Yom lo yikanes lamachan alaviya. A Tvul Yom can't enter a certain place by the Azara, by the Shar Nikinor, because it's a Tvul Yom. But you see, it's not even a Doraisa. That's just something that the Chachamim enacted. And therefore, according to that, really, someone who's a Metzora, he usually can go to the Mikdash on the eighth day, put his thumb and his big toe in, and normally a Valkyrie is not allowed to, but in the scenario that we're describing, when he also has a Tful Yom on the eighth day, we allow that type of Tful Yom to enter the Mikdash. The Amar Ula, and Ula says, now this is a little bit different than the Tanakama, it says, Matam, what's the reason? I mean, it seems like according to Tanakama, the reason we allow it is just because we're playing risk-reward. The reward is not being mevatel the Karban Pesach, and the risk is being mevatel an Asei that's not even Doraisa. But Ula has a different reason why we allow this particular Tvul Yom to enter the mikdash, even though we normally don't allow a regular tefil yom. And that is, hoel v'hutur l'tzaraso, hutur l'kruyav. Because we're already telling him it's permitted to enter the mikdash on the eighth day and stick his thumb and his big toe in to get blood sprinkled to purify himself from his mitzora status. So therefore, says Ula, we also allow him to purify himself from his tefil yom status. So this is the concept of hol v'ishtri ishtri, meaning once you have two statuses, and for some reason you're allowed to perform or to get rid of one of the statuses, the second one is grandfathered in, and that would play all the way back to what we said about Ishas Ach and Achus Isha, that we said, what would be the Havamina to make a Bamema Tzinu between Ishas Ach and Achus Isha? So now, according to Ula, we're saying Hol of Ishtri Ishtri. You have a case where Reuven is married to Rachel and Shimon is married to Leah. So when Reuven dies and Rachel falls to Shimon, so she's his Ishas Ach, and she's also a Zachos Isha. So Ula's concept, the whole of Ishtri Ishtri, just like we find when it comes to the Mitzora, who's also a Tefil Yom, that because the Torah permitted him to enter the Mikdash because of his Mitzora status, we also allow him to enter the Mikdash because of his Tefil Yom status. So too, just like the Torah permitted Rachel to marry Shimon because she's, even though she's an Ishas Ach, so too, maybe we would allow Rachel to do Yibam with Shimon, even though she's also in Achos Isha. So that would be the comparison, and perhaps the Gemara suggesting that would be the Havamina to explain why you need the Pasuk Aleha to tell me why Shimon may not do Yibum with his Achos Isha, but you would have thought of the concept of the whole of Ishtri Ishtri would permit them to do that. Now, just parenthetically, the fact that Yehoshaphat got up in front of a Kahal to be Mechadish something, the Gilyan Hashas over here references the Gemara in Ksuvos and Daf Zayin, which says that Boaz took a minion, took 10 people to be Dorish HaHalacha of Amoni V'lo Amonis. As you see that when you are Mechadish something, you need 10 people. So Rav Zilberstein over here in Chashuk Echemed, he has a suffix. Let's say a Gadol Ador comes to Mechadish something. He gives an example, like Rav Chaim Ozer would make a bracha of Morei HaEsh on electricity to show that it's considered fire midoraisa. So you could be one of the 10 people to be in front of a Gadol who's being Mechadish HaHalacha, or you could be part of a minyan to daven mincha. What should you be part of? So Rizal said he thinks you should be part of the minyan to witness the gadol being mechadish something, which is a mesiras Torah l'rabim. And even though you might miss mincha, you'll say osik mitzvah patur min a mitzvah, and there's tashlumin for that. Very interesting. So that's Ula, and that's how we equate it back to the fact that perhaps we should permit achos isha to do yivim just like ishas ach. Says the Gemara, but me dam ila de Ula. Ula's case of the Mitzora and the Tefil Yom is not the same as the case of Ishas Ach and Achos Isha. Why? Turning over to Chesamad Aleph. Teinach hecha denasa meis garchach nasa chai. So in the scenario we described, you have Reuven married to Rachel and Shimon married to Leah. The question is, who got married to who first? So this makes sense if denasa meis first Reuven marries Rachel, v'yacharkach nosachai, and then Shimon marries Leah. Why? Then you could say, demigo de ishtri, isra ishasach, ishtri nam, isra achos isha, because Rachel's relationship to Shimon, since she married Reuven first, started out as ishasach. And then when Shimon married Leah, Rachel became Shimon's achos isha. So that's when you could say, hol v'ishtri, ishtri, meaning what's an initial status that was there in the beginning. Once that was permitted, then a status that was added later can also be permitted. And that would be very equatable to the case of the Mitzora and the Tefil Yom. The Mitzora status came first, the Tefil Yom came later. Because the Mitzora status was permitted, we're suggesting that the Tefil Yom status should be permitted as well. However, says the Gemara, Ella, Nosa Chai. Let's say Shimon marries Leah first. V'yakach Nosa Meis, and then Reuven marries Rachel. So Isra Achos Isha Kadam. So when Rachel marries Reuven, so really before Rachel ever married Reuven, she was always Shimon's Achos Isha because she was Leah's sister. And therefore, according to that scenario, it's not parallel to the case of the Mitzora because the second status comes first. But we're trying to explain that you need a foundation case that's being matired to then have the second case that overlays it become mutter as well. Now, the real question is, how is this even happening? How is Shimon even, in a case where Reuven marries Rachel, how is Shimon ever marrying Leah? Because there's a concept called Achos Zikukaso, that how could Shimon ever marry the sister of a girl that could possibly fall to him in Yibam? We have a concept later on in the Masechta called Achas Zikukaso. So you could either say, this is according to the Manda Amar who holds that there's no Isser of Achos Zikukaso, or you could say it's only Nisr Derabanan, but Lamaisa, he violated it. But you have to say something, because it's really not such a kosher arrangement here. It says the Gemara, Vafilu Nasa Meis Nami. And even in a case where Reuven marries Rachel first, so you think it's a good Migo de Chol Vishtaria Shtaria, it's not really a good parallel. Because Teinach Hecha de Nasa Meis Umeis Vyarkach Nasa Chai. That would only make sense if Reuven marries Rachel, then Reuven dies, and then Shimon marries Leah. So the case is where Reuven dies between his marriage to Rachel and Shimon marriage to Leah. Why? Because there was a tkufa, there was a time in the middle there where Shimon was shayach to be permitted to Rachel. Because at that moment Reuven died, when Shimon hadn't yet married Leah, so she was his eshesach, that would have become permitted to him through Yibum. Ella nasa meis velo meis. If Reuven marries Rachel, but Reuven doesn't die, v'yakach nasa chai, and then Shimon marries Leah, so there lo ichze leichal. If then Reuven dies later and Rachel wants to fault him, there was no shas heter. There was no moment where Shimon would have ever been permitted to Rachel, and that would not be a parallel to the case of the tzaras and the valkeri. Why? Because when you see Keri, when a person sees Keri on the eighth day, he was already permitted from his tzaras before the Keri, once Heir Mizrach. And therefore, it's really, okay, fine, he still needed to wait until nightfall, he had to go to the Beis HaMikdash, but his status was really permitted. And therefore, in that case, you had a Shas Heter between his Mitzorah status and his Keri status. But in a case where Reuven doesn't die between his marriage to Rachel and Shimon's marriage to Leah, there would be no Shas Heter. And says the Gemara, Mi lo modi Ula, would Ula not agree in that case? Shem ra Keri b'leil shmini, meaning our whole case was when he saw Keri on the eighth day. What if he saw it on the night before, on the eighth night, which is the night before the eighth day? If he saw Keri that night, she'in machmizal lebahonos, there we would not be grandfathered in. Why? Because at that moment, the Mitzorah himself is not allowed to go to the Beis HaMikdash. He's not out of the woods yet either. He would not be allowed to enter the Mikdash only on the eighth day. Shol yotza b'sha she'ru'i l'havi b'karbon. Because we know he can only bring the karbon on the eighth day. And therefore the night before, since it's not royal karbon, he's not considered out of the woods. And therefore, Ula would agree that in that parallel, we would not say the Tful Yom could go enter the Mikdash. And therefore, in a case that we're saying where Reuven doesn't die, so then we wouldn't say whole of Ishtri Ishtri. So therefore, says the Gemara, it must be Elaki Isterach Aleha. So why do we need the word Aleha to prohibit Achos Isha and her Yavam, the person who she's dealing with, Rachel to Shimon, implying that there's a Havamina, that I would have thought that there's a mitzvah Yibam even by Achos Isha. What's that Havamina? The case is, Hecha denasa meis umes, the one scenario where it actually parallels the case of Mitzorah and Tful Yom, which is a case where Reuven marries Rachel, then umes, then Reuven dies, v'yakach nasa chai, and then Shimon marries Leah. So at that moment, there was a Shas Heter between Shimon and Rachel. And that would be parallel to the case of the Mitzorah and Tzvul Yom. And so therefore, perhaps, based on Abameh Matzinu, we could say just like over there, we say, Ula said, hold the Ishtari Ishtari, that since we permitted the Mitzorah to enter the Mikdash, so too we permit the Tzvul Yom, even though we normally don't allow it. Therefore, so too in the case of Yibum, the Havamina to permit the Yibum with Achos Isha is also Hol V'Ishtri Ishtri. In a case where you have Reuven marries Rachel, then Reuven dies, then Shimon marries Leah, so because Hol V'Ishtri, Ishas Ach would have been permitted, and there was a Shas Heter when Reuven died, but Shimon didn't marry Leah yet, and then now he marries Leah, so now Rachel becomes his Achos Isha, There we would say, hold the ishtri ishtri. Since this woman, Rachel, is your ishasach and your achos isha, but her ishasach was permitted to you, so therefore we would have a havmir to say, the achos isha should also be permitted, and that's why you need the pasuk of Aleha to tell me that still there's no more mitzvah of yibum with an achos isha. So we'll stop there.